Live Better and Longer with the Fitness Show, hosted by fitness expert, author, and TV personality, Fitz Kohler. She'll tell you why diets are dumb, supplements are snake oil, and the truth about how you can earn a lean, hard, pain-free, and athletic body. Now for our favorite bossy blonde, Fitz Kohler.
Hi team, I'm Fitz Kohler, your very enthusiastic fitness pro and race announcer and cancer crusher from fitness.com, and welcome to the Fitness Show. So today I am very excited to tell you about 21 rounds. Very, very excited. I think it's big. I mean, whatever, it's big for me. I always have something big going on, right? I hope you always have something big going on as well. It's nice to have some peace in your life. It's nice to have some downtime, but you should always be aiming for something, right? So 21 rounds, I'm going to explain that in a little bit. Before I do, I want to start by congratulating all of my athletes who competed in the APP Miami pickleball tournament that I announced a few weeks ago. Congratulations to the athletes who crossed the finish line at the Public Savannah Women's Half Marathon and 5K this past weekend, which was, as per usual, phenomenal in every way. Just a beautiful town and wonderful people come, and we had close to 3,000 athletes, the great majority female. I think all but about 160 were women, and it's just a really cool girls' weekend. And I love all people. I'm a merit-based friend, as you know. I don't care what you look like. I don't care what's in your pants. I don't care who you sleep with, where you pray. None of those things matter to me. I choose each individual on their own merit. However, you know, what I find sometimes in the real world, women aren't always so nice to women. But on race day, especially at these women-themed races, all the girls are really nice to all the girls. And I enjoy being a part of that. And of course, you know, I like to be nice to everybody. Oh, there's a fly in my face. So it was great. It was colder than I anticipated. Actually, so much colder than I anticipated that I ended up looking kind of doofy. Some of the photos are coming out right now. And of course, I ran through the finish line with many of our athletes. And I look kind of doofy. I'm wearing this giant black hoodie. Well, the reason that is because I thought I was dressed appropriately. I was wearing black tights and I had a long sleeve Swiftly shirt like this, and then a t-shirt over it. And then I had a hoodie and I was still freezing my tail off. I got to the finish line and I was shivering. And our sound guy, who's a 16-year-old little prince, Wyatt said, "Do you want my hoodie?" And I go, "No, that's okay. I want you to be warm." He goes, no, I'm fine. I don't need it. Please wear my hoodie." And he just took it off and gave it to me. so cute. He's such a sweet boy. And I put it on and it helped so much. And I kept going back and saying, "Wyatt, are you sure you don't want your hoodie back?" And he was saying, no. But anyways, big black hoodie. He's cool. He's kind of trendy. He's got shaggy blonde hair and a trucker hat to the side, and just as adorable as a teenager could be. And what a chivalrous little, I don't know, whoever gets Wyatt someday is going to be very fortunate. I am a huge fan of chivalry. This is a total random offshoot. I had not planned on talking about this today, but what a big deal. I have a friend who's a trans female, born a male, now living as a woman. And we had a conversation a few years ago and I said, "Blah, blah, blah, I love chivalry." And she said, "I don't." I said, "You don't?" She goes, "No, I don't like that a guy has to do this and a woman has to do that and stuff." And I get that. I'm guessing she's coming from a position where she's just, you know, uncomfortable with whatever's going on, right? But I'm chivalrous, right? I love when a man opens a door and pulls out the chair and carries the heavy things. I love that. In fact, I think it's strange when a man doesn't open the door or offer to carry the heavy things. Maybe I'm very old-fashioned, sue me. However, I open the door for men and women and people younger and people older. I like carrying heavy things for others who need support. So chivalry goes in all directions. Very, very important to me. And just to see Wyatt at 16 doing what I'm going to consider the right thing, the chivalrous thing, was just heartwarming. He was so sweet and he did a great job with sound. He's been there a few years. I believe his dad either owns the company or is a head honcho within the sound company. I need to find his dad's name so I can make the call and say, "Your son is awesome. Give him a raise or hug or something like that." But anyways, I look kind of doofy in those photos because I'm just wearing this giant hoodie, but very proudly wearing that giant hoodie. So Savannah was a blast. Up next, I've got Big Sur, the Donna Mother's Day 5K, followed by the very next day, the Detroit Mother's Day 5K, followed by the Buffalo Marathon and the Fargo Marathon. Big stuff coming. If you are one of our Big Sur runners and you are confused about what's going on with the course, know that it will be resolved. If you haven't heard, there was a landslide in the Monterey area, and a big chunk of the southbound west side of the road fell into the ocean. So I'm not sure what they're going to do. Maybe they'll be able to create a path where runners can safely run by it, and that will allow them to go from start to finish on our normal course. Or maybe they will make a different course. And either way, I know it's going to be spectacular. I know that the people in charge are brilliant, and they have the best interests of our athletes in mind. And this has happened before. There have been other landslides that have changed our courses. And although our course is one of the most beautiful on planet Earth, it truly is. The Big Sur Marathon course is breathtaking. Even if you just drive the darn thing, it's a game changer for your life. It's so beautiful. However, what everyone in the running community knows, at least if you've been a part of the quote unquote weird years, those are the years where the best stories are told, right? So I ran the Boston Marathon in October of 21. Boston Marathon is supposed to take place the middle of April. So the fact that I got to run it in October, some people are just blown away by that. Oh, what was it like? You ran in October? Now, I had never run the Boston Marathon before, so the only thing I knew was running it in October, and I thought it was fabulous. But yeah, people are real impressed and pleased and excited about the weird year where we ran Boston in October. And, you know, if you've been at Disney where they canceled the half marathon due to the lightning, or they cut the half marathon in half because of lightning, you're part of something interesting. So if you are one of our athletes and you're coming to Big Sur this year, fear not. Take that energy you've been wasting on stress and turn it into excitement. This race weekend, in its entirety, is magnificent. Outside of running, this race weekend is magnificent. The people are extra. Our committee, our Blue Jackets that roam around are extra. The surroundings, the place you sleep. I mean, I sleep, in a hotel that's right on the wharf often, and I'm woken up in the morning by sea lions. I am woken up by the sounds of them barking. It's just extra. And you can go on a whale watching tour, and you can go see the redwoods, and it's so extra. So if you're coming and you're feeling grouchy because, oh, the course won't be the same. Okay, it won't be the same. And there's nothing we can do to undo that landslide. Know that it will be excellent and phenomenal and so much fun anyways. And I will be waiting for you at the finish line. No matter what happens, I will be waiting for you at the finish line. And if you're one of my listeners, I'm guessing you think that's a good idea, right? Or you think that's a good thing. Hopefully you're looking forward to seeing me like I'm looking forward to seeing you. So that'll be interesting. OC Marathon, very next week, we have our 20th anniversary of OC Marathon. That weekend's going to be extra. That thing's going to sell out very, very soon. All of these races. So if you want to come to Orange County, make it happen immediately because you might lose your opportunity. Buffalo is always great. Fargo's 20th anniversary this year. We're also going to be honoring late race director, my dear friend, Mark Knutson, with the 80s 5K. He loved 80s music, 80s rock, and Def Leppard. And Joan Jett is performing Saturday night. So it's going to be a wonderful spring race season for me. And hopefully you'll be a part of it. Now, shall we get on to 21 rounds? I think we shall. So this has been something I've been thinking about doing for quite a long time, a few years now. And I just kind of put my foot down and says, you know what? You need to make it happen. And so I had 21 rounds of chemotherapy. First six, I dubbed the mean chemo because they obliterated my body. It was absolutely nightmarish. When I finished those six rounds, and mind you, they weren't just six rounds of chemo. I sat in those infusion chairs for 9-10 hours each day. And in between, I would go through, bags and bags of IV fluids. I went to the cancer center almost every weekday for IV fluids because each round of chemo made me so sick. So there were six of those, six mean chemo, one random after that. When I had three of the four drugs, I had two of the four drugs, not the whole deal. And then I switched to a drug called Cadcyla, which I cleverly dubbed Godzilla because that also was crazy mean. I was warned it'll be fine. I'll feel so much better. And while I didn't feel as awful as I did on the mean chemo, I lost probably 15 pounds on this drug and it was really cruel. So 21 rounds of awful. Now, 21 rounds of awful, that's also badass and awesome and brilliant because it saved my freaking life. Am I grateful for that? Hell yes. But I feel like maybe I can undo some of it, right? And so the first thing I kind of did to undo all the harm that was done to me during cancer care was run a Spartan race pretty much immediately after I finished chemo. I finished chemo May 10th, and I think it was June 10th that I ran a Spartan 5K. And it was during the COVID lockdown. And yeah, everything in the world was shut down except for Florida. Hell yes to Florida. I love being a Floridian. If you don't get it, then I'm glad you're elsewhere, wherever you are, where you feel safe. In Florida, freedom is most important to me. And I thank goodness I had access to this race because I needed something. I had worked so hard for so long to get done with cancer and be healthy and have some athletic adventure. And, you know, in most places in the world, I wouldn't have been able to do that. But in Florida, there was this little race, Spartan. And I said, I want to do that race. And I actually went to my surgeon and I said, hey, I want to do the Spartan race. And he had been planning on taking my port out that week or whatever. He goes, okay, let's get your port out. And we'll do it a week early. And you just need to cover it with tape. And don't tell anybody I told you this was okay. I said, all right. So we get the port out and I get this tape situation to try and protect that wound with stitches and so forth. And it was so refreshing. It was an incredible, incredible day for me because I got out and, you know, just lining up at a start line felt fantastic. Felt like I was alive, right? And I was going to do this. I was so filled with joy. Now, mind you, I was still 15 pounds less than I was supposed to be and super wimpy. I had been working on my fitness, but nothing compared to what I was supposed to be. But I was just thrilled by the opportunity, thrilled that I was alive, thrilled to be doing this thing. It happened to be this perfect weekend after incredible storms here in Florida. And so the trail where we ran, I don't know, the first mile was completely flooded, just flooded. I was running in water up to my crotch at minimum, sometimes more. And the amount of laughing, giggling, screaming I did between that first step onto this flooded trail and the end of it was mind-boggling. Of course, the tripping and falling and landing face first into this mucky trail was the highlight, but I've never felt so alive. I have never felt so alive. That race was such a blessing to me. Now, mind you, I got over the walls. You know, I have to climb over walls. I did so with the help of people who were willing to get down on their hands and knees so I could step on their back and get over. I would go to the challenges that were strength related, and I failed. I failed every last one of them, but I loved trying. And there was one with a sandbag. You have to pull a rope. You pull the rope, which goes over this really tall tower. And on the opposite side, the rope comes down and it's carrying this big, heavy sandbag. And so I'm pulling, trying to get the rope up or trying to get the sandbag off the ground. And I don't know, my body just gives out. And so the sandbag falls and I go whee, flying up in the air. It was big time fun. So was I good at the Spartan race? Probably not. Could I do any of the strength-oriented challenges? Not really well, but did I have a blast? I did. I was so grateful. And that was a real turning point for me, going from this sick person to becoming a strong person again. That was adventure and life as its fullest, as at least as I deem so. So that Spartan race was so much fun. I have a great picture of me at the end. I'm jumping over the fiery coals and there's that Band-Aid on my port. You can see it out throughout my tank top. And I just look like a happy person, and I was a happy person. And for me, that was round one. Shortly after, because I had gotten so cocky after doing this Spartan race, I decided, you know what? There's a triathlon in a few weeks. I'm going to do that triathlon too. And so I had been swimming for exercise during chemo. As soon as I could get in a pool, I did. And I did lots of swimming. I was doing some cycling. I was doing some walking, not really much running, but I decided to go for that. Now I can, I can tell you about this triathlon in greater detail at another time. Okay, so out of the several hundred people there, I was first into the lake and I was last out of the lake. That meant I got in the lake and I went so darn slow. And I also did some hyperventilating. It took a very long time for me to do the swim, but I did it. And as I was struggling, I was thinking, how fortunate am I that this is the struggle I have right now versus the struggle I had a year ago. Almost drowning in a lake was so much more fun than sitting in those chairs getting chemo for 10 hours. And then I got out and I went for the bike ride. And it was the longest bike ride I've ever done in my entire life. It was, I think, 11 or 12 miles. And when I got to the final hill, which was felt like it was straight up Mount Everest Street in Florida, Lake Mineola, apparently there's hills there. But I eventually had to dismount my bike because I could not pedal to get myself up the street. Dismounted and completely hyperventilating. Could not breathe, could not speak. I had a volunteer coming over trying to encourage me. He had no idea why this thin little woman wasn't able to do the thing all the other athletes were doing. And mind you, I got passed by a pregnant women, children, the elderly, the obese, everybody passed me. I was dead last. There was a cop behind me on the road with the sirens on and the flashing lights. That's how we protect and make sure all of our athletes get home, is by we have police escorts that follow the last person and make sure they come safe. So this cop's behind me probably thinking, why is this chick so out of shape? I couldn't even tell them, hey, I just got done with chemo. So I just hyperventilated my way one foot after another, slow, with some long stops where I just stood there trying to catch air. And all I could think as I was hyperventilating was, how fortunate am I not to be in a chemo chair right now? How fortunate am I that this is the struggle I'm facing? And so I eventually got up that hill and parked my bike and I went out for the, I think, 2 mile walk run, mostly walk, a little bit of run. And I've never been so grateful to be dead last finisher. And I have never been so proud of myself in my entire life. That includes when I was kickboxing. That includes when I gave birth like a boss. All of those things, I was so proud of me. And I thought, okay, round two. The victory goes to Fitz Kohler, right? And I talk about that in my in my memoir, My Noisy Cancer Comeback, Running at the Mouth While Running for My Life. If you've not read it yet, I highly recommend. One would think as the author of that book, I would recommend it, but I do. And I talk a lot about the points. Where are the extra points going? And usually I got the extra points, right? Well, here I won that round, right? I've got round one, round two goes to me. I'm dead last freaking finisher at the triathlon. And I felt like I won that whole thing. I've never been so proud. And so round three, Boston Marathon. Something I didn't even want to do, but I got invited to do. And I thought, well, couldn't be any harder than chemo. So let's go. Let's give it a try. And that was an adventure. And that was a 4 month long adventure. That's an adventure that I had to commit to, train properly, eat properly, sleep properly. There was all this preparation. I had to invest in the airfare and, you know, the hotel and things like that. But I never thought, even before cancer, I basically had zero interest in running the Boston Marathon. And then there I was lining up thinking, okay, this is cool. Really alive right now. Here we go. And was it hard? I mean, sure. Physically, it was hard. I think at mile 20 something, my feet really hurt. I started to get that cranky pain in my knee at mile 24. It was certainly physically challenging. But compared to what I had done just a year and a half prior or whatever it was, running the Boston Marathon is a freaking joke. I mean, let's not diminish the Boston Marathon, but compared to cancer, anyone who's done both will tell you that Boston Marathon is child's play compared to chemo and radiation and all that stuff. And so it just felt so freaking good. I never one step of that race did I think, gee whiz, I wish I weren't here. I wish I weren't doing this. This is too hard for me. I just kept thinking, woohoo, I'm doing the Boston Marathon. I'm not doing it very quickly, but whatever. I'm doing it at my pace, my race. I'm having a great time. The people are nice. This is fun. This is truly living. And so cross that finish line. And I just was, once again, quite proud of me and thrilled to be alive. And so the second I crossed that finish line, people started saying, are you going to come back and do this again? Are you going to run New York? What are you going to do? Are you going to run Boston? Are you going to run Chicago or London? And I thought, well, maybe. I just had this question mark over my head. And so even though Boston was a wonderful experience, and I truly, I enjoyed every ounce of it, I wasn't convinced that that was something I needed to do again. But what happened inside my mind, I thought, well, I think I'd like to expand, right? Do something different. Maybe my next challenge could be a dance-oriented challenge. That just happened in my mind. I never told anybody that. I just had this light bulb in my head. And I thought, wouldn't it be fun to do a dance challenge? I never told anybody. It was there. Hi. And then probably, I think it's maybe 7-8 months later, someone called and said, hey, we have this Dancing with the Stars competition. We'd like you to take part. And I thought, oh, that's crazy beans. But yes, I'd like to do that. Unfortunately, I looked at my schedule. It was for last March at 23. And I couldn't do it because I was announcing the Coast Guard Marathon that weekend. I said, ah, rats. Can't do it, but let me know if you do it again. And so they invited me for 24. And as you all very well know that I did it. I did it. And it was another, like Boston, it took months of preparation. And of course, buying outfits and buying shoes. And besides just dancing, there was a lot of mental fortitude involved. And it was wonderful. And the performance itself was, I haven't had that much fun since I was fighting. Kickboxing. If you're unfamiliar, I did full contact kickboxing for about 10 years. And that was a blast. And I haven't had that much fun since I was in a ring trying to kick somebody in the head, or kicking people in the head, I should say. And so round four, to me, goes to me, right? And so I've been thinking for quite a few years that perhaps I should do something spectacular to compensate for each round of garbage. Right. And I shouldn't call them garbage. I shouldn't be that bitter cancer person. I don't feel like I'm a bitter cancer person, but those chemotherapy rounds were so hard. And one of the weirdest parts about it is, in reality, I was grateful for the thing, for the drugs, and I had to show up. So, you know, if let's say you get struck by lightning a few times, okay, you probably didn't try to get struck by lightning. You didn't show up like Ben Franklin with a kite and a key, standing in water under a tree. You know, you're like, woohoo, come and get me, lightning. That didn't happen. So with chemo, though, you have to show up. You know there's this horrible thing, experience waiting for you, and you have to wake up, set your alarm for it, take a shower, get dressed, drive your car to it, walk in for it, voluntarily sit down, let someone take a big needle and stab you in the chest with it. You have to sign up for it, which is crazy town. So in my mind, I've been thinking, you know, I should intentionally do at least 21 things to compensate for those 20 rounds of insanity. And so right now I feel like I've just conquered round four. This Dancing with the Stars experience was so much fun and it brought me so much joy. And I think I'm way better for it. I'm just so much better for it. I don't know if I look any better to anybody, or I sound better, or any of those things, but I feel better. I feel more joy. I feel more complete. I feel just like a better version of me, better than I was 5 months ago. And so I want more of that. I want more. I believe with all of my heart that life is short. Even if I get a solid 100 years out of this life, it's not enough. It's not enough. There are so many opportunities. There are so many cool things to do. And there are so many things I could do to fulfill myself, to better myself. And so I'm going to do them. I'm going to do at least 21. Now, mind you, 21 right now, 21 is what I'm laying out on the table. I will do 21 rounds of nonsense, awesomeness, insanity, whatever you want to call it, 21 rounds to compensate for my 21 rounds of crap. However, I could get carried away because I did have 33 rounds of radiation and 2 surgeries. But here we are. We're starting at 21 and I feel really good about that. I've got some things on my list and I am open to suggestions. And of course, I'm always willing to partake in the endurance industry. It's where I live, right? I live in the endurance industry. So I'm not opposed to more physical challenges in that regard, but I also would very much like to branch out. So top on my list right now, moving forward is, yeah, I think many of you know, I just started playing guitar in August and I'm no longer crap. I'm mediocre. That's right. I'm mediocre at best, but I can strum along to songs. I could be that background guitarist that strums. And so I'd very much like to perform on a stage with a band as one of their guitarists. That's on my list. And of course, that's not only learning songs, practicing, getting up on stage, knowing that I could be the thing that screws up everything. So I want to perform on a stage with my guitar And again, I'm not going to be doing riffs like Prince. Just want to play and strum along. So that's on my list. The Atlanta Sea Aquarium, they have two whale sharks in captivity and you can swim with them. Now, is it dangerous? I don't think so. In fact, part of my rules in my head for the rounds, the things I'm going to do, I don't really want there to be any sort of legitimate risk for bodily harm. I don't want to jump out of a plane. It just doesn't, it's no interest to me. And God forbid the stupid parachute doesn't open. That would be a crappy way to end my endeavor to compensate for those 21 rounds, right? So I don't really want to do anything that risks bodily injury. I want something that challenges my brain, challenges my mind, makes me happy, brings joy, is exciting, makes me better. And so the whale shark thing, I'm a big fan of animals in general, but ocean life, and you can swim with them. It's this monster tank, but I think that would be very enriching and exciting. It's also very pricey. So it's not something you're just like, oh, I'm just going to go do it, unless you're money bags. And if you are, good for you, but I have to pay attention where I spend big chunks of money, but I'd like to do that. So it's the guitar on a stage, it's the whales in Atlanta or elsewhere. I'd be happy to go swim with whale sharks elsewhere. I also, this is a big dream of mine, which probably sounds absurd, but I also don't think you would be surprised. I would love to be a walker on The Walking Dead, and not just your average walker. I would love to be a torso. You know, one of the walkers who has no legs and just drags myself along the ground trying to eat your brains. I would love to be that kind of walker. So perhaps I'm going to make an effort to go be a walker on The Walking Dead. Might get shut down a million times, but I'll try a million and one. We'll see how that goes. So anyways, I've got some plans for this 21 rounds, but I also have a lot of empty space where I don't have any good ideas. So I'm up for your ideas. If you have a good one for me, send it my way. There are no bad ideas. All I have to say is, nah, no thanks. I don't want to do that, right? But I'm open. I'm open if it includes challenge or travel. I'm open if it includes practice. I'm open if it includes the risk of public humiliation. Obviously, I put that at risk with Dancing with the Stars. I could have completely blanked on that stage or blew it. I think I did pretty good and I was happy about that. And really, even if you embarrass yourself, it's way better than cancer or dying of cancer or all of that stuff. So yeah, there are no bad suggestions. And then here's the other thing. I'm doing 21 rounds. I've made this decision for myself that I will compensate for the cancer nightmare. I will make everything better because of it. And I'm not one of those people who are like, thanks, cancer. Cancer is the best thing that ever happened to me. No, I mean, I jokingly say thanks, cancer a lot. But if I could go back and undo it and flip the switch and not have cancer, I would flip that freaking switch and not have cancer. But I did and I can't. So on with it, right? How do I redeem my own self? And this is for me. This is not for you. This is for me. It makes me feel good. It makes me feel happy. But what makes me really, really happy is when I can use my own stupid life lessons to help you do better, to help you be better, because that's really why I'm here. You know, we have reasons, right? We have purpose, and you are my purpose. Your health, your wellness, your life of adventure, your fulfillment, your positive steps you make to do better and be better, that's my mission. I'm not doing any of these rounds for you. Let's be clear. They're all for me. Because I want this life. I want a really awesome life full of cool memories and big laughs. But you need to go get yourself some too, right? You don't need cancer to start choosing you. You don't need cancer to start choosing adventure and excitement and enhanced skills, right? This guitar I'm learning, it's a real skill. It's not just easy peasy the way it looks. People make the guitar look super easy. It is not easy. It's not easy at all. That dancing thing I just did, not easy. I might have thought it would be easier than it was. It was not easy at all. Doing that triathlon, not easy. I mean, it all takes skill, right? So be better. What can you do? And hopefully you don't have any sort of, what's the word, impetus like I did. Hopefully you haven't been through the ringer. We don't need you to be through the ringer, but come along with me. Come along for this ride. I'm doing 21 rounds. I would like to challenge you to choose 21 rounds of awesome, 21 rounds of adventure, 21 rounds of living your life as large as you can. And I will put no parameters on you. for me, again, it has to challenge me physically or mentally, make me laugh a whole heck of a lot. I can't put me at real risk. I don't want to risk my health to do this adventure, but it has to be something that expands me, makes me better. You choose whatever you want. And so I imagine 21 rounds will take a while. I'm excited for the adventure that awaits. And sometimes when I commit to something, or probably every time I commit to something, I make it happen. And so it's nice that I can publicly commit right here to 17 more rounds of awesome adventure. When I do them, of course, I will share them with you, because why not? I specifically enjoy sharing my failures with you, which is probably, I don't know, probably weird in some regard. But I think when I fail or when I struggle, you realize how okay it is to have failures and how okay it is to struggle. And boy, do I ever. But I'm also very appreciative of each success as it comes, and okay to acknowledge that without feeling like I'm an egotistical blowhard, right? I'm proud of me, and I want you to be proud of you too. So I've got at least 17 more rounds of adventure coming my way. I hope you will send me your suggestions for those adventures, and then perhaps hook me up if you know someone who can help me access the opportunity for adventure. I'm down with that. And this is lemonade. This is lemonade, and the sweet kind, made with Splenda. That's still good for you, right? Okay, our song of the week. This is a song you're going to add to your playlist. You're going to listen to it while you exercise, and hopefully it'll make you or help you give it a little more, or at least make you smile. And it's one of my favorite songs, one of my absolute favorite songs of all time from my favorite artist. It's Garth Brooks, Call in Baton Rouge. Such a fun song. You can listen to it in its pre-recorded version or in its live version. Either way, outstanding. And I bring this one up because this weekend when I was announcing Savannah, the public Savannah Women's Half Marathon, we ended up talking about it. One of our athletes was from Baton Rouge, and I was referencing the fact that last time Garth performed at LSU in Baton Rouge, the second he started to play this song, he went through the first chords, the stadium went so freaking crazy that they caused a little earthquake. They call it a Garthquake that registered on their Richter scale. So the Garthquake. In honor of the Garthquake, you should listen to Garth Brooks, Call in Baton Rouge, put it on Spotify, listen to it for free on YouTube, whatever. Just listen to it. And if you'd like to submit your own song of the week, go to fitsness.com. There's a button in the top corner that says appear on the Fitsness Show. And then you just go there, click it, and then submit. And then I'll suggest everybody listen to your favorite song, for crying out loud. Okay. I love you. Thanks for listening. And here we go, right? Here we go again, I should say. Here we go again. If you haven't done so already, please take a moment to click subscribe, maybe even like, and leave a review for your noisy friend, Fitz Kohler, because why not, right? I love it when I see your name. Recently, I saw Jennifer Riaz's name pop up. I appreciate that, Jennifer. You are a sweet person, and I imagine we will stay friends forever simply because of your review. No, just because of all the other reasons. But yeah, I love you. Get to work. Bye, team.
Hi, this is Rudy Novotny, the voice of America's Marathons. We all love how much running has benefited every aspect of our lives, so much so that most of us only wish we'd started sooner. Wouldn't it be wonderful to gift the opportunity to children of today? Well, you can. The Morning Mile is a before-school walking and running program that gives children the chance to start each day in an active way while enjoying fun, music, and friends. That's every child, every day. It's also supported by a wonderful system of rewards, which keeps students highly motivated and frequently congratulated. Created by our favorite fitness expert, Fitz Kohler, Morning Milers across the country have run over 2 million miles and are having greater success with academics, behavior, and sports because of it. The Morning Mile is free to the child, free to the school, and is inexpensively funded by businesses or generous individuals. Help more kids get moving in the morning by visiting morningmile.com. Champion the program at your favorite school or find out more about sponsorship opportunities. That's morningmile.com. Long may you run.